welcome back. We are thankful that you are here for another episode of our In the City for the Nation series. And through this series, Jordan, what we are doing is looking and seeing where you are, wherever God has you, how can you develop a heart for the nations and for people of all religions? Because we know from Revelation that in heaven, there's going to be every tribe, tongue, nation, and language. Yeah. So how do we develop that heart and that prayer life for those people? And last time we got to talk to Ola, and he helped us to see Muslim people in a new heart and for just immense love for them. Yeah. And I was really challenged by that. And so, Jordan, who do we have today with us?
Well, we have one of my best friends, Marlon, from Sri Lanka. And Marlon and I, we've known each other now for like 4 years probably.
Yeah, I can't believe
it. I can't believe really it either.
Yeah. And Thank you for having me here. I'm very grateful to be here and with you guys.
Marlon is a part of our church, Hillcrest Community Church, and a leader in our church, a disciple maker, a house church leader. Just God's greatly using him in our city for the nations. So I'm excited to have Marlon here because I've got a lot to learn from him today.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah. So, you know, Marlon, I kind of want you, just for all of our listeners, kind of give us a view of what it was like growing up in Sri Lanka, your family, your childhood, how old you were when you got your first baby elephant. You know, just let us see a little bit of what it's like growing up in Marlon's world.
Wow. Well, thank you for, again, having me here. Growing up in Sri Lanka, well, for those who don't know about Sri Lanka, it's an island right below India. A little bit about Sri Lanka. Most of them are Buddhist, and it has so much rich culture in it, embedded into the country. It has so much history of kings and it was a colony of Portuguese and the Dutch and the British. So Sri Lanka went through so many transitions of culture, and I think it has so much impact on the lifestyle of the Sri Lankans and also the family structure and everything. But I think they were always trying to preserve that culture of being Sri Lankan through the Buddhist and the Buddhism. I grew up in a Buddhist family. My dad was a Buddhist. My mom was Hindu/Buddhist. And we were, I would say, more of a conservative family. I felt like my role, I'm the oldest brother in the family, and it's just me and my younger brother. So I felt like my role in the family was more as an older brother. And I grew up in a family-oriented society, and I felt like that was my identity. It was fun. I grew up close to the beach, and it was a 10 minutes walk for me.
Oh, wow.
And I get to do a lot of fun activities like surfing and et cetera. So I'm really grateful for those memories. And
Yeah. Marlon, right when I think you're one of the coolest guys I know, you get cooler. I did not know you surfed.
Barely.
With an elephant on the surfboard. Okay. I'm obsessed about elephants, thinking they just like walk freely in Sri Lanka, but they don't. To all the listeners, they're not as big a deal as they are to me. But
we can get you one.
Yes, please. I will ride an elephant and live that dream. Well, Marlon, you know, growing up in a Buddhist household, and now you're a believer. Help us kind of bridge that story for us. Let us see a little bit of like what Christ did in drawing you to him, and when you came to faith and became a Christian. So kind of tell us that story.
Yeah, I think coming to Christ is 100% an adventure for me.
Yeah.
I forgot the English word. It's more like a quest. And he took me out of nowhere. So in my culture, we have Buddhist and also Hindus, Muslim people, and Catholics and Christians. You know, it was a multi-ethnic society that I grew up in. And when I was growing up, even though my parents were Buddhist, I felt like that is not for me. It was more of forms of work. I did have to perform certain religious activities to what my family or what my parents did believe or what the culture of the society as Buddhists believed was the only way to get to nirvana or the supreme bliss is through by doing some good works. So what they believed was doing some religious activities or doing good works. Let's go to the temple, let's offer, let's worship these statues. And in order to avoid this rebirth, they will do some good works. And in growing up in Sri Lanka, I saw so much of conflict among the religions.
Yeah.
And everyone has their own set of value systems and beliefs, and they thought, I have the truth. And
yeah.
Also, yeah. The Hindus told they have the truth. And because of that, I also felt there's this friction among these ethnic groups. And we also went through a 30 years of war in Sri Lanka with two ethnic groups because of the ethnicity and racial pride, situations like that. And that made me walk away from the religion. And I never, and I always questioned, if there's a God, why he's not doing anything about that? Or these divisions that we are facing. It gave me a burden to find him. And also, at that time, I was 18, 19. I really walk away thinking there's no God. And I felt like everybody's doing what they think the truth, and everybody was doing what they believe is the right thing to do. So just like my friends, I didn't believe in God, but I remember going to high school and see a sign from a church. That sign said, Jesus Christ is coming again very soon. And I used to mock that a lot. Mm-hmm. And as a teenager, I was like, if Jesus is coming again, why he's not coming back and fixing the problems that we have in Sri Lanka? There's so many poor people who doesn't have places to sleep or really struggling, and there's this classes of middle class, poor class, and why the rich are becoming rich. So I felt the injustice, but I never understood why. And then I always wanted some superpower from God to come and fix it and make it right.
Yeah.
So I used to mock that a lot, and I was like, oh, there's no God. This is just illusion. This is just, you know, false hope that we're giving for people by saying that, oh, Jesus is coming. And that's where I was. And what happened to me, I applied for my undergrad. And my mom, and I told my mom I'm going to U.S. And she was like, no, you're not going to U.S. she got a little bit scared. But I said, I'm going to U.S., but I'm going to Kansas. And then I showed some pictures of Kansas to my mom. Yeah, and she was like, oh, cornfields, you'll be fine. Yeah. So she kind of...
Corn can't hurt you.
Yeah. So I think it was God's plan. And he took me to Kansas. And I started doing my undergrad as a mechanical engineering in Kansas, Wichita State. I went there, I did my undergrad, and my second semester I was working as a barista in a coffee shop. This is where everything started changing. But at the time, I was really struggling with my identity. Like I mentioned before, my first identity was the identity that was given by my parents. And my parents told me, you're the oldest son in our family, so these are your roles.
Yeah.
And these are what you have to do for our family. And then I felt like my identity was given, but it also made me think that I have to perform for this identity. I also felt this identity is something that I need to achieve.
Yeah.
And I came to States, and in US, I felt the identity problem is a little bit different.
Yeah.
All my friends who are from, I would say, from United States, they express how they want, they express their dreams and goals, and they said this, by achieving those, this is going to be my identity.
Yeah.
So I was in a bit of a problem trying to understand am I belong to the traditional cultural identity or am I belong to the modern cultural identity? And also I went through homesick because I couldn't relate to anyone.
Yeah.
And then when I was in that stage while I was working on the coffee shop, this Indian student showed up.
Yeah.
He came to my coffee shop at very night. My coffee shop is open, I would say, till 2 a.m. for students.
Yeah.
And, I wish our coffee shops are open late too. He came and he asked for a coffee. And then I said, I made him coffee. And he asked, can I pay? And for some reason, I said, no, don't worry about it. And then he was like, are you sure? Are you sure? And then I said, yeah, I'm 100% sure. And he took the coffee and he left. He came the second time too. And he asked the same coffee. I gave him free. And he was like, okay, are you going to make me pay this time? I was like, no, don't worry about it. And it happened like at least for 4 times. And then the last time he said, no, I cannot do this. So tell me, how can I pray for you? And that really changed me. And wow. I've never felt anyone asking me that personal question to me.
Yeah,
I was like, wow. And a little bit about Sri Lanka again, like we and Indians don't go along.
Yeah, no.
And it's so crazy that God chose an Indian.
Yeah.
For me to like share the share the truth. And when he came and told me, how can I pray? It really opened my heart. And I remember he consistently visited me every night. And then he was very, he took really care of me. And he prayed for me. He was listening to me. And then I remember I finished my shift and go outside the coffee shop. And then we started praying together. And he taught me how to pray. And then God slowly started opening my heart through him.
Yeah.
I received Christ. And I came to Christ. And then my friend, my Indian friend, his name is Praveen. He's in Utah now.
Yeah.
He introduced me to my right now, and my American dad, who used to be an on-campus missionary, and we went through the scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, and he answered all the questions that I have about the Bible, about God, the Trinity, like the big questions.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I honestly, I have no words to express how I'm feeling right now. It was a blessing. Some answers I didn't get in the way I wanted, but God always showed me.
Yeah.
And that's how I came to faith. Like I said, it was a quest.
And
I don't think I can go back and imagine a life without God. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I just think about it, quest. Like, that's so true, isn't it? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just crazy, Marlon, to think. You went from Sri Lanka to Kansas, right? We're not in Kansas anymore, but we are actually in Kansas now more. Nice. But like, that's all I could think about. You went from Sri Lanka to Kansas and heard the gospel from an Indian young man that went to Kansas in a coffee shop because you gave him free coffee and he began to share with you the only hope, the free message of the gospel of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I love some of the things, like, for our listeners, Sarah, like, I'm thinking and want to apply is, like, that your Indian friend that brought you to now your American dad and all of that took you on this quest journey of discovering Christ, which is a big deal. Like, it was a period of time. It took time. You're unlearning Buddhism, I'm imagining. You're dealing with you're thinking through a lot of cultural things during all of this period of time. And he was in the journey with you. I love also that he kept showing up consistently to the same place at the same time. And I'm sure if we were interviewing him today, he would say, yeah, it was the Lord, but I also knew deep down, I love this guy. And I don't know why, but I feel like I need to keep getting coffee from him. And eventually, I love that one question though. One simple question that everybody can ask their waiter, waitress, wherever they are. It crosses all cultural barriers. Mm-hmm. Pranay and I talk about this a lot, who we'll interview next. But like, you can just say, how can I pray for you?
Yes.
And almost everybody will never deny letting someone pray for them.
Yes.
And it was that question. Like, I've never heard someone then by that question get so affected that they eventually come to Christ. Like, that's the beautiful thing there, Marlon, is that one question, how can I pray for you? It allowed him to get in the quest with you.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
So let's
thank you, Jesus.
Let's dig deeper into that and help people discover how they can be somebody's like Indian man that comes and consistently shows up. And sometimes we belittle the power of prayer.
Yes.
Right.
And your testimony shows how powerful and impactful it is. So let's unpack that for our listeners and help them to see how they can do that. Mm-hmm. And specifically in light of like Buddhist people who are so lost, and whether they are still in the Buddhist traditions or they've kind of walked away like you did. Let's help people discover that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So more than like, talk us through kind of like some barriers that had to be overcome for you. As well as like you're the man that walked you through the Old and New Testament and helped bring you past those barriers. Like if I'm sharing Christ with a Buddhist friend of mine, what are some things I need to be thinking through?
Yes. So to go there before, I need to share, I think I only share 50% of my testimony. What happened to me?
The quest continues, is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
The quest continues.
The quest actually did continue. And I came to Christ, but I also saw Christianity in the old set of eyes that I used to have, in a way of religion, in a way of I need to do good works.
Gotcha.
I need to obey God to win his favor.
Yeah.
So that was one of the biggest initial struggles that I was encountering with when I was in my faith. In 2019, when I last came into Sri Lanka, I wanted to go talk to that church who had Jesus Christ is coming back again very soon.
The sign that you mocked.
The sign that
you
I mocked.
You wanted to go back to that church.
Yes.
But this time different. Okay.
So I wanted to go tell them about my testimony. I wanted to thank them because this is not a false hope. Jesus didn't come to Sri Lanka, but he came to me.
Wow.
So I wanted to go thank them. But on that Sunday when I went to that church, it was closed. So I took a bus and I went back home. And when I went back home, I saw my neighbor washing his car. And he asked me, where did you go? And I told him, I went to church. And he got super surprised. He was like, church? You go to church? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, did you know that I'm a Christian? And I had no idea. And I thought, you're a Catholic, or I don't know what kind of religious practices that you did. All I knew that you're my neighbor.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm a Christian that he has been praying for my parents to come to Christ from 1996.
Wow.
So, and then he immediately stopped everything he's doing. He grabbed his guitar and grabbed his wife, rushed to our house, and he was praising God. And in my living room, my mom came out and she was mind-boggled, I think. She was like, what is going on? And then my neighbor told my mom, I cannot believe that the prayers work, because they always wanted my parents to come to Christ.
Yeah.
But the seed came to me first.
Wow.
And then my mom, I can remember her eyes were tearing up at that moment. And we had a small prayer meeting. And she was just part of that. And 2 weeks later, she started going to church. And now she's in faith.
Wow.
And that's the quest continues. Once she came to faith, it really, it was very, I don't know, there's no word for me to use other than the word hit. Hit me into my heart, saying, okay, God works in so many ways. You never know how your prayer is going to get answered.
Yeah.
This man was praying for my parents in 1996. Till 2019, nobody in my family heard.
And what year were you born?
I was born in 94. So
You were 2 years old when he started praying for your parents to accept Christ, which is crazy.
Yeah, and then also, again, my parents were doing all these religious activities, seeking for salvation, you know, hoping that they will find the peace and the the freedom. But it never worked. And my mom coming to faith really changed me, the way I look at the scripture, the way I interact with people, because I felt you never know what God can do through you, through little prayers that you pray. Prayers might be very little, but they have so much impact. So yeah, when once she came to faith, my old beliefs about religious activities, or I couldn't see the God the way I see. He had to show me in his ways. And he, I like Paul, I was first blinded by the darkness, and then he slowly had to remove these scales from my eyes to show the way he wants to see things. So I'm really thankful for him. And
Wow. And now, as the quest continues, even, I mean, your life story of now, here you are in Little Rock, sharing the gospel with, I know, Hindu and Buddhist and Muslim people, and specifically working in an apartment complex to do that alongside Pranay. So just tell us a little bit of like that journey now for you of saying, okay, I want to be my neighbor to them. You know, I want to be the one that brings the gospel into their lives. And what are some of those things that motivate you in that, and the barriers you're overcoming with people of letting your story become their story and sharing that?
Yes. That's a good question. I think in my understanding, people right now, they don't ask the question of, is God is true or false? But they ask the question of, will this God work? So in a form, I feel like it's a sort of paganism, like mentioned in Galatians 4. So they want God to work. Paganism, like you take elements of the universe and they worship thinking that, okay, this will work for me. So some used to worship rivers, sun or beauty or love, whatever they seek. In the interactions that we have among internationals or in any friends or any sort of background, I always feel like they want to know if this God can help to get there, where they want to go. So I think that's the biggest barrier that I'm facing right now. It's because they are not trying to seek God if he's true or false, but they want God to work for them. So I think in a way we are facing a modern paganism in forms of my English is so bad. So
no, it's great.
Like
idolatry.
Yes. What they want to achieve things in the form of work or career, those are their goals, but they are also their mini gods that they are serving. And they want their God, they want these goals to get achieved through a functional God.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think this is the biggest struggle that we are facing when we do Bible studies. They ask, well, what's the point if I cannot find the love of my life of this God, you know?
Gotcha.
Or what's the point of this God if I cannot find the job that I'm looking for?
Right.
So I think it goes back to the solution of prayer and seeking God and telling. I think God speaks to everyone in very different ways and in their own unique way for each individual. So first we need to seek God. And then we also need to be aware of where they are coming from, what their mini gods are, and what kind of identity they are seeking.
Yeah.
And then only we can understand how we can share the gospel to them.
Yeah, that helps so much, Marlon. You know, because they're like, Marlon's been sharing about like his identity crisis, which it does seem like I'm like, yes, 100%. I see that in the sense of there's different cultures, there's different upbringings of people's lives abroad the world, I mean, all around. Mm-hmm. And but it all comes down to identity, and we must have our identity in Christ. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so you went on this journey of a lot of, I want to honor my family, mm-hmm. and self-inflicted shame mm-hmm. when you feel like I'm not going to be able to achieve that.
Yes.
You come to America and you begin to hear the culture voice of that is, you need to go and accomplish these great things. Mm-hmm. What's your dream? What's your 10-year plan? Mm-hmm. You know, when are you going to be ready to retire? Are you going to have two kids and a white picket fence and one dog? Like mm-hmm. all this. And the, it's this, but it's the same thing. It's this identity of self now, mm-hmm. but you still are battling the same crisis, which is, I'm not worth anything until I accomplish that.
Exactly. Mm.
And it was a process of two people, mm-hmm. a guy from India that asked, how can I pray for you? And mm-hmm. kept showing up, that introduced you to an on-campus missionary mm-hmm. that then walked from creation to Christ.
Yes.
That answered your questions and helped you unlearn these self-inflicted lies of the enemy mm-hmm. that you are worthless until, mm-hmm. and helped you see, no, you are worth everything to God, who left heaven and came to earth and died on a cross and rose again mm-hmm. so that you can have a right relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And in him, you have everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your identity is complete in him. And so what you're saying is that's the barrier you're trying to help other people through.
Yes.
Is I've got to help them see, no, you're asking the wrong questions. It's you're seeing your worth in things outside of God. Mm-hmm. But your worth is in God, from God, and only through God.
Yes.
And so it's helping unravel that and get them to that point. So I think for a listener, for me, I'm thinking all those things, prayer, time, understanding where they come from, what's their worldview, mm-hmm. what's their cultural upbringing, and how can I help them, like, ask the right questions mm-hmm. and answer those.
Yes.
So, like, yeah, Sarah's going to kind of start to land this for us, Marlon, and ask a few questions. But I just know in my own life, I'm thinking, man, there's some ways I can apply this. So, Sarah, what about you? And then why don't you kind of land this for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the key thing and like the theme of this conversation, I think, for me has been prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think through prayer, the Spirit reveals things to us mm-hmm. to share with others that will meet them in that place of crisis.
Yeah. Yes.
That will help to reveal the things that are not true or the things that are not the main focus. And we're able to have the Holy Spirit reveal those things to us so we can minister to them.
Yeah.
But also sometimes it's just for 20 plus years praying for someone and believing God to do it, no matter how long it takes.
Yeah.
And then going and praising God with them. Like that was such a cool
praise the Lord for your neighbor.
Yes. Yeah.
That is amazing. Just come
so cool.
on.
So as we close out, we will mm-hmm. pray. But before that, what's kind of a final word, if any, that you would give to our listeners?
So I think Christianity is not do's and don'ts. Mm-hmm. And Christianity is a person.
Yeah.
And it's living God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how we need to introduce Jesus is not as a set of laws, but hey, I know someone. Mm-hmm. Would you like to come and see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like how Philip met Nathaniel.
Yeah.
And he said, would you like to come and see?
Yeah.
And when Nathaniel asked, okay, but where is he from? And he said, he's from Nazareth. No. Is there any good coming out from mm-hmm. Nazareth? And when Philip gave a very humbling humility answer, we will find out together.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Mm.
So sometimes we may not have all the answers, what the other person is looking, but we can tell them, would you like to come and see?
Yeah.
We'll find Jesus together.
Yeah.
And I think that is my prayer for a lot of friends and also for me too. Because every time I move through the scripture, God always teaches me something new.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I want my friends who are seeking God, if they are looking for Christianity, I don't want them to come to Christianity because it'll excite you, but it will excite you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And I don't want them to come to Christianity because it's relevant, but it will be relevant.
Yeah.
I don't want to come to Christianity because they're finding the truth. It is the truth.
Yeah.
But I want them to come to Christianity because he is true.
Yeah.
And once you find he is true, everything else, the growth that you're looking for, the excitement, the truth, they will all follow. You cannot just pick one element and then come to Christianity because we all go through seasons of not excitement,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Not growing,
yeah.
And but he is always with you. So come to Christianity to find this living God who came for you, who dwell among you, who understand every emotion that you are facing right now, but he never left you.
Yeah.
How about that? Mm-hmm. How about we go find him? How about he say, come and see? He says, come and see. And he says all this, I am the light. I am the shepherd. I am the bread. Come, read the scripture. Let's just find who he is, what he's saying. And you can decide after that.
Yeah.
You have the choice too.
Yeah.
And my prayer is, of course, I want my friends to know him. And my prayer is that God will open their hearts to receive the truth. And we as listeners, we can also pray for that.
Yeah.
And whenever we are reaching out. And yeah.
So good.
That's
so
great. Good. I just love how applicable that is to everyone, no matter where they are, whether they are in an area where there are Buddhist people,
mm-hmm. yeah.
or whether they're just, you know, here in the middle of Arkansas,
yeah.
and all they have are
their neighbors.
Their neighbors.
That's right.
that the tactic per se is you don't have to know the Buddhist religion front to back. Mm-hmm. It's just, I know a guy named Jesus. Let's experience him together.
Yeah, it's joining. And it's like joining the quest with them. I mean, right, as their guide to the Lord of their life. Yeah,
and
it's
awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, such a good word.
Yeah.
Well, to wrap it up, mm-hmm. let's pray specifically for Buddhist people in mm-hmm. Sri Lanka.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, love you, buddy.
Yes.
Love you.
Love you too.
And we'll be all joining in prayer together for this.
Yeah.
And thank you for that challenge that you gave to everybody today. So. Let's pray.
Awesome. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy and your holiness that is who you are, God. We praise you for all the good things that you are doing through our lives, and we praise you, God. Father, we seek you and we want to share your goodness and your kindness with the people around us. And I specifically want to pray for Buddhist people who doesn't know you, who's trying to find their salvation, trying to find their identity in forms of work, in forms of doing religious activities, in forms of doing good works, but they don't know how many good works that they need to do in order to find the salvation. But you have promised that we are forgiven, we are accepted even before we die, and that we have assurance in you. And I pray that you will also speak to these my friends or all my Buddhist people that what they are looking, what they are seeking is you. And I pray that also for everyone who is in the field of sharing the gospel, that strengthen us to share the truth and help us to show you to them. And that by sharing you, that they will see you through us and your light will shine upon, that you will shine, your light will shine through us and that they will draw near to you and that you will be glorified.
Yes.
And I pray also for your strength, and I pray for boldness to go share the truth among these groups, specifically with Buddhists, and I pray that you will be there with us and help us to seek you and help us to invite all our friends to this adventure that you're taking us. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.